It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
That seems to me like government is establishing a religion.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
If you give people rights, women's rights, gay rights, whatever, there can't be equal rights if there's special rights.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Surveys show that people still really prefer freedom versus force.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for listening. You each of you are treasured, valued. You have purpose today. Strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. And you are living at a time in history that make sure that you step into this time. Our country is under assault. Our state is under assault. And it is important that we engage in this battle of ideas that is raging out there. That's why we do this show, is to help you get your brain around these issues so that you can converse in reasonable conversations with those around you, and because we are in a ideological battle right now. So thank you so much to all of you for listening. And be sure and tell your friends about us as well. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people to do that. Socialism ultimately comes down to force. We've been seeing this played out ever since this COVID-19 Wuhan China virus reaction disruption. And socialism cannot stand on its ideas. It has to ultimately come down to force, and socialism moves us towards communism. And America was founded on we the people. So that is the big difference between socialism and America, is we the people. So thank you to this team I get to work with. That is producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Producer Steve, it is Tuesday, and again, a lot of work to do. The ballots are going to drop here in Colorado probably this weekend, would be my guess, either Friday, Saturday, or Monday.
Now, oh, geez. Maybe you should call me Mr. Snarky today. No relationship to Jen Snarky in the White House. But I'm just thinking, I'm always like a minute behind you. When you say, well, you know, we want to help you get your brain around something, and I'm thinking, yes, and so many of the people we're talking about seem to be brainless. So, yeah, we have an important job to do here.
We really do. We really do. And I am working on the voter's guide for this election season, and what it will look like is there's three questions on the state ballot. And, of course, you know we're all over this leap, this learning. Let's see, Patty's got it right here. So I get it right. Learning Enrichment and Academic Progress Program and the, quote-unquote, new marijuana tax for the children.
A.K.A. the wolf in sheep's clothing.
Yeah. Another crony program out there. What a great idea. Go out there and pass a tax for something and then have just this whole crony thing, whereas it's unelected, unaccountable bureaucrats. It's an authority board that will be running it. This governor chooses them. They choose their replacements. They have taxing power. They're not accountable to the voters. They're not accountable to the legislature. They're not accountable to the Board of Education. What a great idea. What do you think we should do? Should we go out and try to pass a tax and the thing about it is they can take 10% right off the top for administrative costs. And, of course, they choose the vendors. The vendors can take administrative costs. What a great crony deal.
Well, let's set the stage for a warning that you have put out many times now. I have no allegiance to the marijuana industry. But sometimes do you wonder if they feel like the sacrificial lamb?
Oh.
Because there's another thing coming.
It's on the Denver ballot.
Yeah, okay. Let's tax
marijuana. It's another tax on marijuana, and that's for pandemic research.
Right. So your warning is you drive this cost up through taxation, you're going to drive people to the black market.
Absolutely. Increasing crime in our neighborhoods. So anyway, clearly we are a no on that. I'm still looking at the other two, and we will have the voter's guide out by the end of the week. And again, nobody pays us to do this. We look at this through this lens of how does this match up against the American idea, the Constitution? Is it the proper role of government? And what is best for the people of Colorado? So that's the lens that we look at. I am going to actually put together a list of school board candidates that we would recommend that have been vetted by somebody that I trust very, very much, and want to do that to try to help you. Speaking of that, though, this headline that you pull, Steve, where the Department of Justice is launching an effort to combat what it said is an increase in threats of violence against school officials and teachers across the country. It says threats against public servants are not only illegal, they run counter to our nation's core values, Attorney General Garland said of the effort in a statement Monday.
There's a problem right there. Garland.
True.
But continue. I'm sorry.
Those who dedicate their time and energy to ensuring that our children receive a proper education. First of all, proper education. Can we say CRT?
Define that. Yes.
Yeah. CRT and also sexualizing our children through this whole Planned Parenthood LGBTQ sexual sex ed curriculum. And our kids are falling behind. We look at the results: reading, writing, arithmetic, science, civics, history. Those, there's only a certain amount of hours in the day, in the school day. And when you're focusing on this other stuff, you cannot be teaching those basics. So I guess define a proper education in his words, in a safe environment, deserve to be able to do their work without fear for their safety. I find that this probably is going to be trying to censor people's voices once again, Steve. Parents are incensed. Parents, now that they know the junk that their kids have been taught and the fact that their kids have been falling behind and that their kids are being masked up and they're being forced vaccinations in Los Angeles, parents have had it. And quite frankly, this is a threat by Attorney General Garland.
Well, all right. This caught my attention for one real big reason. What is more grassroots than school boards?
Right.
But look at the way that it starts at the very top of this article. The Department of Justice, a federal level entity, they're going after grassroots.
Right. And school boards?
And why? You have to realize that they realize that, oh my gosh, we have set so many fires across the nation with our idiotic policies. You know, what's happening here, and we need to get a handle on it before they have too much success.
Well, and you know what? This is what is so exciting about the truth. And Leslie Manoukian was in town last week. I was not able to attend. I was actually traveling. But one of the last things that she said in that podcast that we did, and then also I talked to a friend of mine, Steph, who said that she said, hold the line. We've got to hold the line here, my friends. We've got to stand strong. And as we do that, we're seeing ultimately the truth. The truth comes out. And let's talk about Facebook now. I don't do much on Facebook, but, you know, it's a big thing for sure. And yesterday it was down for 6 hours. And I'm trying to get my brain around this whole whistleblower thing and what that means exactly. But I guess this one, was it, what's her name? Frances Haugen, is that right?
Yes.
And so she's set to testify today against Facebook. And on Sunday, she was revealed on CBS 60 Minutes as the woman who anonymously filed complaints with federal law enforcement that Facebook's own research shows how it magnifies hate and misinformation, leads to increased polarization, and that Instagram specifically can harm teenage girls' mental health. Haugen claimed that Facebook betrayed democracy by allowing the algorithm to push misinformation on its users during the 2020 election. She said the company recognized the risk of misinformation and added safety systems to reduce that risk, but she accused the company of loosening those measures after the election. She said as soon as the election was over, they turned them off and they changed the settings back to what they were before to prioritize growth over safety. And she said, this feels like a betrayal of democracy to me. Once again, she doesn't understand we are a constitutional republic here. And this is the other thing at the very beginning. And I saw this as well, Steve. It says Facebook announced in a statement late Monday that its platforms are back up and running after a massive global outage plunged its main Instagram and WhatsApp platforms into the dark earlier today. I guess there was one other quote. It's just that the darkness that they've been pushing on that. But you had an interesting observation on this. Now, we can't prove it, but it is very coincidental. Yes, Steve?
Well, the word coincidence is all over this. The day after, not even 24 hours after the fact that 60 Minutes runs this story, they have a, what I guess they're calling it, a global outage within their system. And there was enough information running around last night that the way they structure their network and the different nodes around the world, the Border Gateway Protocol, or BGP, files got trashed, and they could not connect. I think, why would this, you know, they have been, for as long as I've known that they've been around, they've been fairly reliable. You reach for Facebook, boom, it's there. And yesterday, they take this outage less than 24 hours after the story runs. Could it be they were in there trying to purge any elements that this lady is going to testify about?
I wonder. Oh, and here's the quote that I found this off of Newsweek this morning. It says, the latest incident marked another blow for the social media giant, which has come under fire recently following a series of leaked documents that allege Facebook is aware of its platforms are used to spread hate, violence, and misinformation, and attempted to hide that evidence. So my friends, all of the truth is coming out, Steve, and that's why we just have to stand strong, hold the line, search for truth, not give up. As Churchill said, never, never, never give up.
It was noted this morning that Mr. Zuckerberg lost a lot of money yesterday because the stock price plummeted. Could it be that he sat there and said, hey, that's peanuts compared to the feds getting a hold of something that we were actually doing that was nefarious?
Right. It's going to be very, very interesting. I mean, I find it kind of interesting that the whistleblower was on 60 Minutes, too. So that's, you know. Anyway, stay tuned on this. Keep searching for truth. Check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You'll get all of our first look at our upcoming guests, our most recent op-eds, podcasts. We'll be rolling out the voter's guide this weekend. Email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. I really, really do appreciate you. And before we go to break, a couple of things. Helen Raleigh was on yesterday, and she and I were talking afterwards, doing a debriefing. And she said, Kim, we forgot to mention the fact that on Sunday night, Newsmax ran this special, Socialism in America, and she's in that. And that was Sunday at 7 p.m. our time, but it's going to be on again tonight on Newsmax. So be sure and check that out. She's just really a rock star, Steve.
I love it when she's on. I mean, she's been here in the studio. She's such a small and petite person, but she can roar like a lion.
She really can. But she's so reasonable. And she grew up in China. She grew up under communism, and she is truly a patriot. Before we go to break, though, this show comes to you because I have all kinds of great partners, and one of those is Hooters Restaurants, and they are holding the line on inflation right now. They have lunch specials Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., dine-in or to-go, not valid on delivery. They have $8 items, $9 items, and their $10 items. Their lunch fish and chips I love. And so go to my website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign on, take a look at my sponsors. Click on that tab. Click on the Hooters tab. You'll find all their specials. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll continue with the conversation in segments 3 and 4. Josh Phillip with the Epic Times. We'll talk about what's going on out there. So stay tuned.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And I really appreciate all of you who support us. Our quote for today is from Teddy Roosevelt. And he was an American statesman, conservationist, naturalist, historian, and writer. He was the 26th president of the United States. He was born in 1858. He died in 1919. And I thought this was very interesting. He said, "Patriotism means to stand by the country. It does not mean to stand by the president or any other public official, save exactly to the degree in which he himself stands by the country. It is patriotic to support him insofar as he efficiently serves the country. It is unpatriotic not to oppose him to the exact extent to that by inefficiency or otherwise he fails in his duty to stand by the country. In either event, it is unpatriotic not to tell the truth, whether about the president or anyone else."
I'd like Teddy Roosevelt to meet Joe Biden.
Yes. I tell you, we have an invasion down at the southern border. They think there might be a million people down there. And this is actually an invasion that is not occurring with weapons. It is occurring because of public policy, and that those in the office, we need to have people, local officials standing up. We're seeing that on the Texas border. We need to have county commissioners, we need to have our governors stand up and make sure that we understand that there are there's sovereignty to these states as well. And when the federal government is not protecting the American people against this invasion, and also one of the headlines Patty had here is within this big spending bill that I guess there's money, cash for illegal aliens, if you can believe that, cash. I mean, can you believe it?
No. And what I also can't believe is, you know, when I see these numbers they're quoting, in terms of the enablers that are located south of our border, whether it be at Mexico or the other Central American countries, can't they lend a hand somehow to stop this?
They could. However, there's probably, again, non-governmental organizations down there.
George Soros.
And probably. And they are encouraging this to happen. Remember when Trump was president and he basically worked with the president of Mexico and said, quit. Don't let them come through the country. Don't let them come to the border. And guess what? They didn't. So we actually have an invasion of our country right now. And it's not only people coming in. Oh, and last night I was on Tucker. Fauci was saying that there is no problem with the unvaccinated illegals that are coming into our country. But another headline that I think Patty had on here was that they are now saying, though, that our Navy SEALs cannot be deployed unless they get the vaccine. What crazy world do we live in, Steve?
Well, okay, you want proof that the major media is in cahoots with, you know, the administration. This Fauci thing, what the statement you just read or talked about, and then him coming out over the weekend saying, well, we just don't know about, you know, what Christmas is going to be like, timed perfectly to keep the weak-minded on edge and stirred up. You know, and the major media keeps going to him. Why don't they ignore him? They can't. They won't.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm getting off my soapbox.
Okay. You said you had a couple of sound bites as we are looking at this big $3.5 trillion bill. You said you had a couple of sound bites regarding the debt limit. I think you said it was Schumer first, right?
Yeah. No. This is brief, and I'll reserve comment until the mighty Schumer speaks.
Okay.
The fact is we don't have the luxury of waiting until October 18th to extend the debt ceiling. Even a near miss can have dramatic consequences. Every single day we delay taking action, we increase the chances of doing irreversible damage to our global financial system, our economic recovery, and trust in our country's ability to pay its debts. So again, we will need to get a bill extending the debt ceiling to the president's desk by the end of this week. We aren't asking Republicans to vote yes, even though it's debt that they incurred. We are simply asking that they get out of the way.
Hmm.
Now, his comments set me on edge, and there's only one person who sets me on edge more, and that's Nancy Pelosi. But I hate it because every time he gets up to speak, his comments are engineered to be sound bites on the news, and they are usually incredibly inflammatory.
Well, they are, and I love the way he says that we need to pay off our debts is instead of actually having an economy where we are, an increasing economy where we are healthy and all. All he wants to do is he just wants to borrow more money. I mean, that's a great way to pay off your debts, right? I mean, that is headed towards disaster.
Well, right? Then he specifically hangs the Republicans out to dry. And I'm saying, sir, it is both parties are probably equally at fault here.
They are. Yeah. How did we get to this point? And that is because we've had Republicans that have reached across the aisle and they've collaborated together and have increased the debt ceiling. We're going to have a reckoning. And the sooner we have it, the better, because the farther we put it out, the worse it's going to be, Steve. And so I say, let's go ahead and have that reckoning. And quite frankly, I was listening to, now I can't remember who it was, but we have money to pay our debts. We're continuing to have tax revenue coming in. But this is very Marxist to continue to have more and more debt. It creates inflation, which really chips away at people's savings. And inflation and taxation is the way to crush the middle class. So couched in these comments with Chuck Schumer is they are trying to crush everyday hardworking people. So what's your other soundbite that you found?
I guess McConnell got up right after Schumer was done, and he said this.
The majority needs to stop sleepwalking toward yet another preventable crisis. Democrats need to tackle the debt limit. We gave them a roadmap and 3 months' notice. I suggest that our colleagues get moving.
So, there it is.
Okay.
But I would say this, and if anybody, how many times have I referred our listeners to the national debt clock?
You could use it as a fan, right?
Well, yeah. And besides watching the big number tick away, right below it are two other fields that are very interesting. Debt or burden to every citizen figure, and then burden to every taxpayer. So that they differentiate between citizen and taxpayer. Love it.
Well, gosh, and then the fact that we're over here to give cash. It says, and this was from the Free Beacon that Patty had found, it said, President Joe Biden's budget includes a provision that provides billions of dollars in cash to illegal aliens with children. Cash. It's just unbelievable to me. I wanted to get to this other headline before we get into the next segment. And this is from the Business Journal, and it's by Ed Seelover. He says, Colorado business leaders' confidence fell significantly over the past 3 months as they've dealt with rising uncertainty around the Delta variant of the coronavirus, continuing supply chain disruptions, and higher than normal inflation, according to the report released Thursday. The quarterly business confidence index from the University of Colorado Boulder Leeds School of Business continues to show some positive confidence levels in 5 or 6 areas measured, and shows some optimism, but it also showed how quickly things are turning more pessimistic after business leaders, flush with optimism that COVID-19 and the business disruptions it caused were coming to an end in mid-June, have become far less certain about what the future holds. The other thing about Colorado is the taxes, the fees, the unpredictable public policy, this assault on rural Colorado, this assault on our fossil fuel industry, and a push towards, I think, Polis wants to try to have a tech industry here. And when government gets involved in trying to pick winners and losers, ultimately, it doesn't work out. And so Colorado, Polis, this legislature, they want to be California wannabes, and it looks like that they're doing a pretty good job on that, Steve.
You know, I told you I was feeling pretty snarky. You know, there was a big oil spill out on the West Coast, Huntington Beach.
Right, 125 gallons, right? 125,000 gallons.
What if, and now they narrowed it down to most likely a ship's anchor might have hit the pipeline. What if that was one of the ships sitting there out off the coast waiting to be unloaded? In this government, the government is involved in this supply chain thing. Don't don't doubt that for a second. So what if it was one of those ship's anchors that actually nailed that pipeline? You know, just sitting there.
That's a really good point. Because when you have bad policy, I mean, accidents certainly do happen. But when you have bad policy, I think what you're implying is that if we had things going the way it was supposed to be going, that might not have happened. Again, these are a lot of what ifs. We should probably know for sure what is happening out there. And I guess we're doing a lot of conjecture today, and we actually try to stay very close to the facts on this. But sometimes it is certainly worth asking the questions about the coincidences that are happening here. And as we have found out, that many times those coincidences we find out that they are actually what is happening. And I think let's go ahead and let's go to break. Before we do that, though, I am really thrilled to introduce the Kirsch Insurance Group as a new partner of the Kim Munson Show and America's Veteran Stories with Kim Munson. And Marlon Kirsch, who is the owner, was on yesterday. And they are specialists in the Medicare insurance arena. And there is, and I've, for the life of me, I can't figure out why the government says there's only a certain amount of time that you can make changes to your Medicare plans. But that is what they've said. And that period, that open enrollment period, is from October 15th through December 7th of this year. And then it takes effect on January 1. And what I love about the Kirsch Insurance Group, Marlon, Danielle, Naomi, all the folks over there, is they work with a whole bunch of different carriers. So if you're just working with one company, one of the big companies, that's what you get. But they actually work with all of them. And we know each individual is unique, and they have different needs, different budgets. And so Marlon, Danielle, Naomi, they can sit down with you there and tailor a Medicare insurance program that is just right for you. So their website is iKirsch, that's KIRSCH.com, iKirsch.com. I'd encourage you to check that out. We're going to go to break. When we come back, I can't wait to talk with Josh Philip. You know him. He is an award-winning investigative journalist with the Epic Times. He's the host of Crossroads. It's been a couple of months since we've talked to him, and a lot has happened, so can't wait to get his perspective. Stay tuned.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute, to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. Greatly appreciate that. And we will be rolling out this Sunday's email newsletter, our voter's guide for the issues that are on the ballot here in the state of Colorado. And then also we will be helping you out with suggestions on school board candidates as well on who to vote for. On the line with me is Josh Philip. He is an award-winning investigative journalist with the Epic Times and host of Crossroads. And it's been a couple of months since we've had a conversation, and can't wait to hear his perspective on what is happening there. Josh, welcome to the show.
Hey, Kim, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Well, a lot has happened, Josh, since we last talked. But the first thing is you have been working on a new documentary. Tell our listeners about that.
I don't want to give too many details yet, but I am working on a new documentary. Part of the focus is, of course, what's happening in China right now, both with the virus and mainly on how they would plan to use this virus. This is not getting to the idea of man-made or natural or anything like that, although I think, frankly, all the facts are now pointing to the idea that maybe it at least leaked from a laboratory. But if you read the Chinese Communist Party's doctrine coming out right now, the way they're regarding this virus is actually pretty shocking. In their own words, they regard this as a World War III scenario. And in their own words, they're talking about the idea that there's opportunity within conflict, within crisis. And so they view this as a thing that's basically remaking global governments and an opportunity for them to seize control of that through this situation. Unfortunately, not too much different than what you see happening in with some other groups, like people talking, like World Economic Forum talking about the Great Reset, or Biden talking about building back better, or Trudeau talking about, you know, the opportunity to create a new order through the use of this crisis. But the CCP has a very nefarious plan that they're not really hiding.
Well, and speaking of nefarious, I've had a couple of different guys on within the last few weeks and regarding our grid, and that our grid, our electric grid, is so vulnerable to the Chinese, and that we have 300 big electric transformers that were manufactured in China that have backdoor switches that could actually take out our grid, which would be terrible for America, and that yet also Russia and China are hardening their grid. What's your thoughts on that, Josh?
Yeah, well, that actually is a huge concern. It's not something I've talked about very often. The Republicans have repeatedly tried to put new measures in place to strengthen the integrity of our electric grid. Democrats have repeatedly blocked that from happening. One of the main proposals they put in place are things to protect from EMP blasts, electromagnetic pulse blasts, such as from a nuclear detonation. Not necessarily like, you know, nuking America, but are they what they call high Earth orbit nuclear detonation, a HEMP attack? This may sound a bit sci-fi, but, you know, the Chinese Communist Party, they actually have a whole warfare doctrine built around this. It's called the Three Warfare. Sorry, it's called the Assassin's Mace Doctrine. Three Warfare is another one. The Assassin's Mace Doctrine is basically what a real war with China would look like. And if you, in their own words, in their own writings, they openly say that this is basically their set of tactics for waging war against the United States. Michael Pillsbury, of course, he had a book talking about this. Last, I can't remember the title of it. But he was saying that when they had Pentagon war games, and he applied, he was asked to, you know, basically play the China role. He applied the Chinese Communist Party's Assassin's Mace strategy. He said it was the first time America lost a simulated war game like this. Basically, what it would look like is this. That in their own words, they have things like HEMP attacks, high Earth orbit nuclear detonation for the purpose of EMP blasts to destroy the electric grid. They would do that. Within 90 days, essentially, most of the country would be dead through starvation or otherwise because of logistical problems or other things. Emergency vehicles couldn't function. Even cars are susceptible to EMP blasts. Mm-hmm. And anything that has the circuits in them would be susceptible. Meaning any cars on the roads at the time of a blast such as that would remain on the roads. Emergency vehicles couldn't function. Replacing critical components in the electric grid would be a very, very long process. And yes, some of those would come from China, as you mentioned. There aren't many companies that even manufacture some of these parts in the world, and so getting them would be extremely difficult. In addition to that basic attack, the Chinese Communist Party would have several other components, including Mumbai-style terrorist attacks, rapid invasion of key U.S. points. They even talked about detonation of nuclear devices from ports through shipping containers and things like this. And of course, if you think that most of America's Navy is essentially concentrated at a handful of ports, yeah, that's what they do. And there would also be a disinformation component to it, trying to frame another country in order to deter the U.S. from launching immediate retaliation. I mean, I could go on and on about it. There's a lot of components to it. But essentially, this is the Chinese Communist Party's Assassin's Mace program.
What's the second word in the Assassin's what program, Josh?
Assassin's Mace.
M-A-C-E?
It's also translated Yes, correct.
Okay.
Also translated as the Trump Card Program. But essentially, the idea would be to bring the U.S. to its knees within 2 weeks. A rapid attack, extreme violence within 2 weeks, bring the U.S. to negotiations. And I mean, they talk about this publicly. They don't even try to hide it. And, yeah, our electric grid is still extremely vulnerable. Republicans have, again, repeatedly tried to fix it. Democrats have repeatedly blocked it, unfortunately.
Last week, after I had one of these guests on, I talked with my friend that had arranged getting them on the show, and he was just beside himself because I guess last week there was in the Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee, of which John Hickenlooper from Colorado sits on, and Joe Manchin is the chair, and Senator Barrasso from Wyoming is the ranking member, my colleague was just beside himself. They didn't even ask the questions regarding the electric grid. And the scenario that you have just described, I can see how this could happen, Josh. And it's, I don't see any strength from the Biden administration. And in fact, I feel that Biden is complicit in this. The danger to everyday American people is so significant right now. And so my colleague said, Kim, thank you so much for talking about this. Hardly, as you mentioned, hardly anybody is. And he said, I wish we could get the word out. And I said, this Michael Mabey, who is, I think he's with the Grid Security now, I think, really on the forefront of this. I said, you know what I think you should do? I think you should get him on Joe Rogan. I think Joe Rogan and he could have a great conversation about this. Joe Rogan has such a following that maybe that's a place to start, Josh.
It'd be good to get the word out on it. I mean, this is the terrible part, is the Chinese Communist Party is open about this. They're not even trying to hide it. They have open reports on it. They openly talk about it. There are books and reports and articles written about it all over the place among, you know, people like myself concerned about the fact that the Chinese Communist Party is openly talking about this. As we speak right now, Xi Jinping is even telling his military to prepare for war. And yeah, it's not really being taken that seriously on the U.S. side. You know, we're busy talking about transgenderism in the military, and looking for ideological wrongdoing. You know, whatever narrative they want to use right now. You know, we're too busy fighting ourselves over tiny things to focus on the serious threats being openly stated against us.
What can we do, Josh? Because I just don't see leadership in Washington to take this on right now. The danger is significant. You are on the forefront of all of this, and you're doing such a great job on this. But, you know, people are driving their kids to school. They're wanting to just get back to what they thought was regular life, and we don't understand this threat, and we don't have leadership that is taking it seriously. So what can we do?
Well, you know, not to make it sound too hopeless. You know, there was an interesting shift that took place under the Trump administration, which is, I mean, there's a few different elements to it. I can tell you, even within the U.S. military, you know, our Navy, for example, our ships, a lot of them don't even have proper armoring. That was under the Bush administration. They removed the policies for that because they were like, oh, any future warfare, you know, scenario, serious one, would involve nuclear weapons. So, you know, armoring doesn't do any good anyways. And so a lot of our ships aren't even properly armored. Things like this, you know, our military has been weakened quite a bit through, unfortunately, government policy. Not to say that we still don't have the strongest military in the world. We still do. But a lot of it has been weakened over time. But one thing that Trump did that was extremely interesting, that I think it's not even really talked about much, is he backed off from a lot of international defensive agreements and military agreements, which forced a lot of, and with the intention of doing so, of doing this, which forced a lot of different countries to actually step up to the plate with financing their own militaries and getting their games back together and getting their acts back together. You know, the forces now standing up against the Chinese Communist Party are no longer just limited to the United States. You see Japan actually taking a very strong and active role, even talking about directly defending Taiwan if it comes down to it. you see Australia talking about, you know, basically rebuilding the military and even developing nuclear submarines. That these are not nuclear armed, this is nuclear powered, but it's even a bit ways off. You see India taking a strong stance, and militarily, India could give China a run for its money. Even Taiwan could give China a run for its money. And so any kind of surprise attack, and not to mention Europe stepping up to the plate somewhat, although who knows how that would work out, but Germany is taking a much stronger stance against China, as is France. France is actually being a lot stronger than even the U.S. right now, and it's not getting a lot of coverage, unfortunately.
Well, that
So in other words... Oh, go ahead.
No, that's really interesting, Josh. I hadn't really thought about that, but that is fascinating.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a big development, and this is kind of something I don't like to see too much because, you know, I love my country, but you're seeing America kind of stepping back from a global leadership role in a lot of ways, but you're seeing a lot of other countries kind of evening out a little bit and becoming a little more authoritative, more willing to protect themselves because they see the United States kind of stepping back from the plate. And you also saw a shift during COVID in terms of how different countries viewed the Chinese Communist Party, where a lot of them actually got a lot stronger against the CCP. This isn't to say a lot of these countries are not deeply subverted. They definitely are. A lot of their leadership are also still very favorable to the CCP. Same problems we have in the United States, but you do see another shift taking place where they are taking strong stances against it.
What about Taiwan? The last few days, China invaded their airspace 100 times or so. What's your thoughts about that?
Well, yeah, they're doing incursions, air incursions into Taiwan. Part of that's just posturing. Now, in terms of the normal reason you would have for doing this, basically it's kind of like testing the responses. You fly a jet over, you watch where the calls come from, how many jets they send, what the communications are, what the protocols of response are, how long it takes, and so on. By doing that, you kind of map out a country's defenses. And so, you know, that they do these things to map out defenses and understand protocols. Military typically works by the book. X person makes X call, and so on. And they just want to map that out. For the CCP, though, there's another deeper point to this, which is they are becoming a lot more aggressive. They are openly stating that they want to retake Taiwan. Well, take Taiwan. Taiwan used to be the official government of China after the CCP took over. And they're also launching incursions now into India. They recently had a big troop movement. They destroyed a bridge in Indian territory. Xi Jinping, as I mentioned, just recently declared that he told the military to prepare for war. Although they have been saying things like this for a little bit now. And internally in China, economically, there's deep instability. The housing market's about to collapse, very likely. The CCP's export economy took a huge hit during COVID and under Trump's tariffs. Biden's lifting some of those tariffs, we'll have to see. And you also have a lot of infighting among the Chinese Communist Party and deep social instability socially, on the social level, both because of opposition to the CCP and its COVID policies and other things, and because if they lose their economy, that's going to wipe out a lot of the pensions, and you're going to have a lot of very unhappy people. And so the idea of them starting a war, probably not with the United States in my analysis probably, but likely a local war, is actually very high right now. Because that would be the best way in the terms of their thinking to divert that pressure abroad, to take all that internal pressure and basically send it somewhere else. So I could really see them doing something like that, to be honest, very soon.
To be taking Taiwan, but not an attack on the United States? Or?
Well, it's unclear whether they try to take Taiwan. Taiwan, I mean, maybe they would as a local battle. Taiwan would look really bad for the CCP. It would bring a lot. At this point, it would probably bring at least action from Japan. And even Taiwan itself could give the CCP a pretty serious run for its money. Taiwan is not a small country, but they actually have a pretty powerful military. They're also, I mean, in terms of their cliffs, in terms of their underground bases, they'd be very difficult to attack. I think the CCP is actually taking these into account. you know, attacking India a few years ago wouldn't have been that big of a deal for them. Maybe, you know, maybe a local battle or something like that. But now, because of the Quad Alliance with India, Japan, the United States, and Australia, attacking them is also basically the start of a global war. The CCP is dealing with the reality, I think, that even if they want a local conflict, which I think they really do want, a local conflict would very quickly turn into a very large conflict. And whether they are prepared for that or not, or willing to make that sacrifice, I don't know if they are. Although I do think the leadership really, really wants a war, frankly. But they're in that difficult position where they're... Let's step back. And the CCP is thinking that the first priority in all cases is survival of the party, the Communist Party. It doesn't matter how many Chinese people have to die to achieve that. If they have to kill off 95% of the Chinese population to keep the party alive, they'll do it. Their big thinking, though, is internal instability. Can they deal with that without losing power? If they create external conflicts, would it mean that other countries and the forces they're up against would destroy the party? That's what they're thinking about. They don't care about the lives of the Chinese people. Their only priority is the survival of the party.
Fascinating. Josh Philip, let's go to break and continue the conversation. Before we do that, though, Castlegate Knife and Tool, located in Sedalia, Colorado, is another great sponsor of both of my shows. And knives have been around since the Stone Age for good reason. They're functional, durable, and versatile, and they're an essential part of the All-American Toolkit. So whether you're a hunter, angler, outdoorsman, chef, no doubt you have a favorite knife or two, and Castlegate Knife and Tool is the place to add to your toolkit. They're getting a lot of inventory in for the Christmas season when we'll all be getting together with our friends and our family. And check out Castlegate.com. That's Castlegate.com. We'll be right back with Josh Philip.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I'm Kim Munson. Check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Josh Philip is on the line with me, award-winning investigative journalist with the Epoch Times, host of Crossroads. And Josh, a question regarding... Trump was so strong regarding China, and you were actually encouraged. You've watched China for many, many years, and this is also encouraging. I hadn't thought about other countries where Trump has said, hey, you need to step up and start to take care of yourselves a little bit as well. But what about from a political standpoint here in America? It seems like if we would have a senator or a congressman that would step forward and take this issue of the electric grid and take China seriously and be out there just hammering that, that seems to me like that would be a good political move. But I'm not really a political animal. So what's your thoughts on that, Josh?
Well, I think it would be a good political move. I think there's an interesting phenomenon as well now that standing up against the CCP is kind of becoming a more bipartisan position. It's true that the Biden administration isn't going after the CCP with the same aggressiveness that Trump was. Secretary of State Blinken has maintained a lot of the diplomatic policies. They have, and the Biden administration has kept a lot of the tariffs in place. I mentioned now that they're going to start selectively loosening some of those tariffs. They just announced this recently, so we'll have to see how it goes, to be honest. But there's an interesting phenomenon with this that I'm kind of observing and I can't fully make sense of, which basically it seems that even the real nefarious figures, even like, you know, George Soros and so on, they're kind of anti-Chinese Communist Party. George Soros, for example, just recently got BlackRock investment to pull investments out of China. And that was just prior to this whole crisis that they have with this major real estate developer in China. It seems to be that this is my analysis, just trying to figure out what's going on with the situation. It seems to be the case that they all kind of see a remaking in the global order, the global political order, and they all kind of want to be the ones to be in charge of it. And China is kind of the one most aggressively trying to do that, and they don't seem like they want that. The CCP has its own agenda and its own goals, and doesn't seem to be working with these other players like, you know, the Soros types or others, who also have their own kind of pseudo agenda with what the future of the world looks like. In other words, there's actually infighting even among these different global powers, many of which a lot of us wouldn't see as being good powers. And because of this, you actually do see a lot of them pushing back against the CCP in very interesting ways. At the same time, I did mention the Biden administration has maintained a lot of these policies against the CCP. But at the same time, Democrats, because of spending and so on, because they want to have their own agenda, they are trying to eliminate some of these programs and some of this funding. One example would be they're trying to get rid of Space Force right now. And, you know, a lot of people didn't understand the significance of Space Force. Space Force would be something that would protect the U.S. from a lot of the programs I mentioned, such as the Assassin's Mace program, which would constitute a space warfare program, and things that involve electronic warfare, such as an attack on the electric grid and things like that. They are trying to eliminate the funding. They are trying to eliminate that branch of our military, which was formed under Trump. And so, in other words, you have a lot of competing interests right now globally, and some of these competing interests are opposing the CCP, but they're not as aggressive as they were under Trump in actively opposing the CCP. And at the same time, again, they are trying to pull back some of these programs.
I always love having you on, because even though things are so serious out there, you bring hope to this whole thing. And Josh, speaking of that truth, what you're doing at the Epic Times, what you're doing on Crossroads is really important. What we're doing on the show to search for truth and clarity, because if we hold the line and continue to search for truth, it will win out, Josh, and we're seeing that. And so I'm so encouraging people to hold the line, stay strong, and search for truth, and shed that light on, and the light that you're shedding on all these different issues at the Epic Times, it just looks to me like the Epic Times is growing exponentially.
Oh, it's been great. I mean, it really, really growing quite a bit. And we have Epoch TV now, EPOCHTV.com, which my channel's on. So they do /crossroads, they can find my channel. And, you know, we have a lot of hope for that too. We're trying to build it in like a Netflix-ish platform, but with a news component. And yeah, you know, Kim, just on this note too, I mean, the stuff we're talking about is pretty intense, but I can actually say that from my vantage point, I'm actually still pretty hopeful, because you actually, even though things look very chaotic on the surface, even though things look very threatening on the surface, which they are, a lot of it's actually very delicate, which is, I think, the most interesting side to it. The Chinese Communist Party is not behaving in the way it is right now because it feels strong. It's behaving in the way it is right now because it feels weak. I'd say the same thing with a lot of these other powers. Even a lot of these more totalitarian policies we see coming from the West, even under the Biden administration. That's not something you do when you're confident in your authority. It's something you do when you don't feel confident in your authority. And I think that says a lot about, I think, the grassroots in different countries and really the waking up, people waking up. A phenomenon like that is very difficult to stop. And frankly, sometimes putting additional pressure on it to stop it by force oftentimes has the opposite effect, which we're actually seeing right now, even in the U.S., leading into the 2022 elections. And so it looks intense. It looks like these shock and awe tactics being done to you know, make people feel there's no hope. But again, they would only do that if they feel threatened. And frankly, I think a lot of these different powers do feel threatened right now.
Well, and that's also, I think, what we're seeing. You mentioned on the totalitarian mandates that are occurring right now. And people, I mean, it's scary when you're faced with maybe losing your job if you don't get the jab. But more and more people seem to be standing up to that and maybe not getting the second dosage of this. And so I'm encouraged with that as well. And I'm really, it makes me sad that that we have a government that is actually forcing that upon people. But Josh, we have just about a minute left. The conversation goes way too quickly. I thank you for this. What's the final thought you'd like to leave with our listeners today?
Yeah, thank you, Kim. Well, just on the last point, you know, actually, this is something encouraging. If you look at the huge protests taking place in a lot of parts of the world, if you look at the protests in the United States, if you look at, frankly, the, you know, for example, in Connecticut, I believe it is, and in New York, they're even talking about filling vacant government or medical roles with National Guard because they because people are refusing to get the vaccine under threat of force. They're just deciding not to do it. To the extent that you have like only 65%, I believe, in Connecticut, you know, of the government willing to get the vaccine. Now, they could fill it with the National Guard, but the problem is the National Guard is a civilian force anyways, meaning they're going to have to be pulled from these same positions, which means they can't actually do it. The policies aren't going to be able to stand much longer. And frankly, I think that you're seeing in the U.S., just as in China, that people at the grassroots are just not having it anymore. You have over 300 million Chinese who have peacefully withdrawn their memberships of the Chinese Communist Party, the Youth League, and the Young Pioneers out of the Tuidong movement. You're having a grassroots unraveling of these powers that you don't see on the surface, but is taking place. And that trajectory, I think, is probably the greatest thing that does bring hope to, I think, an end to these totalitarian systems.
Well, Josh Philip, that is great news. Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure as always, Kim. Thank you.
And our quote for today, very appropriate. Teddy Roosevelt, he said, do something now. If not you, who? If not here, where? If not now, when? My friends, today be grateful. Read great books. Think good thoughts. Listen to beautiful music. Communicate and listen well. Live honestly and authentically. Strive for high ideals. And like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you and God bless America.